This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's important that we check in on the global communist cabal that's trying to destroy us all. We'll do that tonight. Is China about to collapse? Maybe the elites are working with the streets again. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Sometimes there is a monster under the bed. So let's talk about this. Because there are fears that are ridiculous. We all have them. You do, I do, everyone does. You know, there's no reason to actually be afraid of that cockroach. I know it's gross, but it can't really hurt you. And then there are fears that are legitimate. I don't want to stand on the edge of a 1,000-foot-tall cliff. What if I fall off and die? Now, the question always is, with our fears, how much of it is legitimate? How much of it have we concocted in our minds? You are somebody who consumes information. Otherwise, you wouldn't be watching I'm Right here. You pay attention to the news, the headlines, not just locally, nationally, internationally. The World Economic Forum is something that you've heard of before. You've definitely heard it if you watch this show. Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum. But beyond that, bigger than that, the globalists. You've heard this term before, the globalists. The globalists, communists, the communists. I mean, you've heard all these terms before. So what's going on? What's the actual truth behind that? Is there actually a group of people who have joined together, secretly trying to take over the world? Yeah. Actually, that's real. It sounds like it's not, but it's not. And it's very easily understandable when you dig down into communism, really, and how it originated. Communism's cry was what? Workers of the where should unite. Workers of where? Of Berlin? Workers of Philadelphia? Maybe countries. Workers of Sudan? That's not what it said. Workers of the world unite. Communism was never, ever, 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 ever supposed to be for one city or one country. Communism, understood by the communists, was always supposed to be for everyone and had to be for everyone. If there was even one country, one place out there that escaped its grasp, the belief was the whole system would collapse. It must be for everyone. That is the essence of communism. In fact, it was one of the huge arguments that Stalin and Trotsky got into. It was one of those main dividing lines between those two. Do we keep pushing this to the whole globe? Remember, as soon as the Soviet Union became the Soviet Union, when it collapsed to the communists, the first thing they did was form an army and march on Poland. By the grace of God, that failed, or they would have gone on to all of Europe. It was always supposed to be for everyone. Always. And it hasn't changed. Which brings us to a man by the name of Klaus Schwab, you see, and his organization, the World Economic Forum. He founded it back in 1971. Remember, Klaus Schwab, for whatever else you call him, is a communist. This is something that you can look at with your own eyes. You don't just need me to say it. If there are plenty of pictures out there. He's done a million interviews. And, well, I'll tell you this. If you look at me in front of the bookshelf, in front of the desk in my home, you'll see some family pictures behind me. You'll see I have a really cool Marine Corps thing of the flag raising on Iwo Jima. You know what Klaus Schwab has on his bookshelf? A bust of Vladimir Lenin. He's a communist. And he founded the World Economic Forum to implement global communism. Now, that's quite a goal, isn't it? I mean, what would you do if you founded a group? Right, where do you even begin? Let alone a group bent on worldwide domination as if you're the James Bond movie villain. Well, first, You have to get your people in the right places, you see.
What we are very proud of now is the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina, and so on, so that we penetrate the cabinets.
Penetrate the cabinets. You didn't think they were just going to try to persuade populations to embrace global communism? Communism doesn't do that. They know they're never going to persuade you to embrace that kind of horror. So you just get your people in positions of power to force things. That's what Klaus Schwab, that's what his organization believes. And every brand of communism, Klaus Schwab and his very powerful group have been right behind it, pushing it. And the one they seem to love the most is this whole climate communism thing. Klaus Schwab famously said, he said it, well, his organization said, I don't know if it was him specifically, you will own nothing and be happy. They said that. They meant that. And as I've said so many times before, climate communism, the whole, you know, going green thing, it's communism's final form. It's communism's most murderous form. In fact, it is the most murderous religion that has ever existed on the planet. If the climate communists got their way, and they're trying every single day, they would kill more people than Stalin, Mao, Hitler, Pol Pot, Genghis Khan, all of them combined by orders of magnitude. That's how murderous and deadly it is. The entire essence behind it is your poison. You, human being. You just being here. It's killing everything, let alone the car you drive, the productivity, the things you enjoy. All these things are killing Mother Earth. If you would just die, it would take care of a lot of problems. That's what these people believe. Klaus Schwab has been a leader on this issue for a very long time.
To limit global warming, you are demanding to halt to coal, oil, and gas exploration. You are asking firms to replace any corporate board directors who is unwilling to transition to cleaner energy sources.
Wild how communists love this climate change stuff. Isn't it so funny how often those two worlds just seem to merge? It's almost like it's the same religion, which of course it is, which brings us back to Schwab and his organization, the World Economic Forum. We'll get to the turnover in leadership here in just a moment. But Schwab was also famously, he has talked about this thing called stakeholder capitalism.
We should make here again a differentiation. On the one hand, we have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages because you can mobilize in a concentrated way a lot of resources to reach a specific objective. But I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, which is combined with a social responsibility.
Now, that was a lot of lying. Lying may be too strong a point there. Massaging the truth a little bit. Changing terms. Using different terms to try to do what? Confuse you. Get you to either buy in, and if they can't, remember, the communist is always trying to get you to buy in, and if they can't, they at least want to get you to let your guard down. It's no big deal. After all, what do all those big words even mean? Shareholder capitalism versus stakeholder capitalism. He says they're competing, but you love the free market, don't you? I love the free market. It's all capitalism. Let's not worry too much about it. Oh, you should worry about it. Because this is really the basis of so much of what they're already doing, what they've already done, what they're still doing, and what they intend to do. Here's the difference. Shareholder capitalism. What does that mean? Well, when there's a publicly traded company, we'll call it Coca-Cola, right? Coca-Cola has a board of directors. They're going to have a CEO, a board of directors. And that board, that CEO, they actually do not have, did you know this? They don't have total freedom to do whatever they want with the company. In fact, publicly traded companies, they have one mission. Only one mission. It's actually not corporate responsibility. It's not picking up trash. It's not charitable giving. Their mission is to enrich the shareholders of the company, to maintain and, in fact, increase the value of the company, thus rewarding the people who own shares in the company. A publicly traded company, that is its only job. The job of its board is to increase the shareholders' wealth. That's its job, period, end of story, and everything must serve that. But you see, the communist is constantly looking. I want you to think about him as if he's a predator, because he very much is. And what he's looking for is power. Power he can grab, okay? Power he can grab and use for his purposes. Use to reward his friends and use to punish his enemies. So when you see the corporate world, the Fortune 500 corporate world, yes, of course, I know, you see the same things I see, the fancy suits and the private jets and the lake house and all those other things. Yes, all that stuff is true. But what the communist sees is vast quantities of wealth that can be used to promote communism and punish his enemies. How is it that you have noticed in your lifetime, and I know you have because I certainly have, all these corporations are political now? When that was nothing, corporations would never touch that stuff. When I was a kid, and I'm only 43, you never saw these companies take a political stance. Now, George Floyd dies, every single company brags publicly about its Black Lives Matter donations. All these companies now fund drag races, pride parades all over the place. How did it come to be? Because Klaus Schwab and his band of global communists infiltrated those boards, and those boards no longer work to enrich the shareholder. That would be shareholder capitalism. Instead, they've shifted into something called stakeholder capitalism. But who is a stakeholder? Everybody. Doesn't matter whether you own Coca-Cola shares or not. If you're a citizen of the planet, they love using language like that. See, they're going to use that corporate money for everyone. Almost sounds like communism, doesn't it? That's what they've done. And they've been very successful. And of course, the story is that Klaus Schwab is stepping down. Now, my final point on all this is we're going to move on. We have a great show. He's stepping down. He's resigning. There are one of two stories going on here. And I don't know which one it is. I suppose that we will find out very shortly. Because these gigantic evil corporations, they always are full of evil people, which, of course, it makes sense, right? There are going to be evil people top to bottom. If I'm starting an evil criminal organization, I don't want saints. I don't want good people. I want to find scumbags. The World Economic Forum is full of scumbags top to bottom. And so these organizations are always full of corruption. There's always somebody swindling this and swindling that. And I know there are allegations of Klaus Schwab's ritzy spending. So I'm here to say this, and we'll find out actually the truth about this in the coming days. There are one of two things that are happening here. Either A, he did swindle a bunch of World Economic Forum money, spend it on private jets and fancy hotels, as these people always do. He got caught, and now he's stepping down. That's option A. Or option B is a bunch of vicious, extremely motivated, ladder-climbing communists inside of the organization wanted to take out the king so they can take over the top spot. And so they simply invented and created these allegations in order to cause problems for Klaus Schwab. It's always one of the two things. Anyway, that's a quick update on global communism. Don't think because Klaus Schwab is leaving that suddenly we're fine and the World Economic Forum is going to just implode. It will not. They will keep marching on. They will keep destroying, and you and I will keep fighting them. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Have you taken your chalk? Are you ready to fight them? I take my chalk every day. Don't look at me. I've been on a male vitality stack from chalk for over 3 years now. I don't just say this to you. I'm a believer. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying this to you. Chalk is natural herbal supplements, which you know I prefer. I hate medications. Well, what do we do about things like the testosterone crisis in this country? We have to do something. We've lost half of our testosterone. You can fix it naturally. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days? That's not even a long time. Do you know how much different you're going to feel? Your mind alone. You're going to feel full of energy, ready to fight the World Economic Forum. Go get a subscription and try it. You'll see what I mean. Chuck.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My relationship with President Xi is great. It was, it's been great for a long time. We've had a very good relationship, and I think we'll make a deal with China.
Mr. President, in your meeting with...
If we don't make a deal, we'll set it. We'll just set the number, and, you know, I think they'll want to be a part of the United States. We're doing great. We're going to... This is the golden age, as Paul said. We're talking about the golden age. It will never be a time like this, in my opinion. And China wants to be a part of that, too.
Okay. I got to be honest with you. I follow this stuff for a living. You follow this stuff, you know, because you enjoy it. I'm the same way as you. I don't know what's going on with the tariffs. Are they in place? Are they coming? Are they not in place? I don't know, but I know Stephen probably knows because he's really good at all this stuff. Joining me now, Stephen W. Mosher, president of the Population Research Institute. He also wrote a wonderful book about the fall of China, hopefully, the devil in communist China. Okay, Stephen. The tariffs, specifically when it comes to China, what is in place, what is not in place, what is coming to in place? Where are we at with all this?
Well, where are we at is where we at is that China can dish it out, but they sure can't take it because they've been dishing it out to us for decades, and they put tariff barriers on our goods, and they have used economic pressure to try to get us to do what they want. They've been cheating, lying, and stealing. The Communist Party I'm talking about now, since the beginning, stealing intellectual property, sending fentanyl here to make money and killing Americans in the process, sending agents across the open southern border, sleeper agents who are going to, I'm afraid, plague us during an eventual conflict. So they've been doing a lot of things, and they've been getting away with it because no one has responded in the way that they should have. And now we finally have a president who is responding to China appropriately. And what he's doing is he's putting the same kind of tariffs on Chinese goods that they're putting on us and taking into account their theft of intellectual property and their non-tariff barriers and all the rest. And so we've got these tariffs now of, I think they're totaling up to, I have trouble too because they keep going up, right? They started 10%, then we had an extra 10% because of fentanyl, then we went up to 154%, then China foolishly responded, and now we're at 250%. So the size, look, China's economy is going to collapse. You can see it collapsing in real time right now, and we can talk about what's happening on the ground in China. People are desperate.
Yes, I actually would love to talk about exactly that. I have about a million things I want to talk about with you, but I realize we don't have time for that. So I want you to explain to me the Chinese economy, its collapse or its impending collapse, because I'll tell you something that has blown away me as I just watched, Stephen, I'm not an expert like you are, is how much money they throw around everywhere, all over the globe. Everywhere you look, they're buying off this, they're paying for that, spending an inhuman amount of money on their military. There's no way they have this kind of money.
Well, the only way they have this kind of money is from the export sector of the economy, right? The things that they produce using virtual serf labor, slave labor, actually, and produce goods. You know, if you have slaves, you can produce goods very cheaply, especially if they're hardworking people like the Chinese, who have great work ethic. And these people are being worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day in amazing shifts, lengthy shifts that Americans wouldn't tolerate. They can't organize labor unions. They can't strike for higher wages. If they object, they're met with police force. So they work long and hard for slave wages. So they have this export sector of the economy all along China's coast. A couple hundred million people are involved in that. It's based in Guangdong and Shanghai and up north in Tianjin. And so every day you have these tens of millions of Chinese workers, these minions, working, producing goods for export. Where do those goods go? Well, a lot of those goods come to the United States, about 16% of the goods. So that's one in every six of the shoes that they make comes to the United States. We've got the biggest consumer economy in the world. And actually, some other stuff comes to the U.S. too, indirectly from Vietnam and Indonesia and Hong Kong, which is transshipped because the Chinese Communist Party is trying to trick us into thinking that not all of these cheap slave labor goods come from China, but they do. They're just shipped through other places. So right now with the tariffs, no one is buying those goods because all of a sudden they're not the cheapest place to get shirts and shoes. And so the containers, there are huge piles of containers piling up in China's major ports that will never be shipped anywhere because they're filled with goods that were ordered months ago from the United States, and those orders have now been canceled. There are huge numbers of ships sitting offshore, most of which are owned by China. I mean, talking about dozens of container ships off Guangdong, dozens of container ships off Shanghai, waiting in ports for cargo that will never come. So about half of all the container voyages between China and the U.S., are being canceled right now in real time. And that'll only make the current backlog worse. Those ships aren't going anywhere because no one wants to buy the cheap Chinese goods. And many of these goods, look, were made for the American market. For example, the Christmas orders should be coming in now for things like artificial Christmas trees. Who buys artificial Christmas trees? Well, not the Europeans, not the Southeast Asians. Americans do. And we're not going to be buying them this year. Who buys trampolines for your backyard for kids? Spend $300, $400, $500 on a trampoline for your kids so they can bounce around happily. Well, the Europeans don't do that. The South Americans don't do that. The Americans do that. That market is now gone. So there are lots of goods that have been produced that can't be sold. I look at Chinese videos of warehouses filled with piles of shoes and piles of clothes and piles of other goods that are now being sold for pennies on the dollar to people in China. They're basically going to have to be giving away these goods for less than the cost of manufacturing them. I'm looking at factories now that are closing down, workers being sent home with their last paycheck, or maybe not being paid at all, because if you don't pay the workers, what can they do? They have no recourse. Empty streets and shuttered shops in the surrounding cities, where those workers would have gone to buy lunch, right? The noodle shops, the convenience stores, the small retailers, they're all going out of business. The tea shops, they're all going out of business. So for every one factory job you lose two or three other jobs in the surrounding area. Temu used to do big business in the United States. Well, guess what? They just officially turned off all of their Google shopping campaigns because their goods, which they were shipping, you know, by mail to the United States, can't be shipped here anymore because they're now subject to tariffs because Trump eliminated the loophole which enabled you to send a package worth less than $800 to the U.S. without tariffs. Now all those packages are going to be tariffed, and all those goods are no longer as dirt cheap as they used to be. So America only absorbs about, you know, 1/6 of China's exports, but consider that the next largest customer, Vietnam, well, accounts for about 4%. So yeah, they're selling little bits of stuff here and there around the world, but they will never be able to make up over the short term the loss of the American market. And that American market is gone. China's GDP is going to take a tremendous hit. They're going to be, I estimate, 20 million workers out of a job in China over the next couple months. That hemorrhaging has already started. It's going to continue. That's on top of the already high youth unemployment rate, where about 40%, 4 out of 10 of young people from 16 to 25 are unemployed in China. There are going to be millions of people in China's coastal cities who don't have jobs can't afford to live, can't afford to buy food.
Stephen, my concern, look, it's just a concern. I'm not saying anyone's doing anything wrong. What does China do in response to this? We know they have a totalitarian at the top. He doesn't have complete ironclad control, obviously. I've heard from several people he's afraid of his generals. He's afraid of this. China has to respond, right? Xi can't afford to just have the economy collapse. They have to do something, right?
Well, they do. And I think they're going to be so caught up in the internal turmoil, the social unrest that is coming. I mean, we're talking about the fate of tens of millions of Chinese. And consider this, that, you know, it's only a matter of time before they take to the streets demanding what? Demanding food. I mean, they're not making a demand for an increase in wages, for example. They're demanding the right to live, the right to survive. And look, these people have nowhere else to go. I spent 10 years in Asia. I spent many years in China. And I lived in villages. I lived in small towns. 40 years ago, the people now out of work could have gone back to the villages. That's where they came from. That's where their families were. They could go back. They would have a room. They would have a house. They could farm in the fields. 20 years ago, they could have gone back to the villages. So people in the villages would have been older now, and some of the fields would have not been farmed, but they still could have survived. But this generation was raised by their grandparents in the villages. Their parents grew up in the cities. They grew up in the cities. And those villages are now empty. Those grandparents are now in their 70s and 80s and dying out. The fields aren't being farmed anymore. Some of the villages in the marginal areas are completely abandoned. In other words, they can't go back. There's no place for them to go back to. They're stuck in the cities. So there's a huge floating population of people in the cities. And I think, you know, so there's no soft rice paddy to land on this time. There's no going home. So, yeah, I expect food riots. And sure, you've got China with the People's Armed Police, 1.1 million members of something called the People's Armed Police. What is the People's Armed Police? Well, it's 1 million members of the Chinese military who were transferred into the police force after the Tiananmen demonstrations of 30-some years ago. These are military units. They have tanks. They have armored personnel carriers. They have heavy artillery. And they're there specifically to make sure there's not a rebellion against the Chinese Communist Party. But I think there's going to be turmoil in China. And here, what do? Well, you know, we may be paying a little more for goods from China, which most of us can afford to do. We can do without the extra strands of Christmas lights or the trampoline for the kids to jump in. But in China, we're talking about literally a life and death situation with millions of people going to bed hungry every night. And there's a real possibility, first time since the 1960s, of a famine. China can't feed itself. China imports a third of all the grain that the people eat every year, the soybeans, the corn, all of the other grains. They can't grow enough food to feed their own people. So I'm thinking, and actually I'm hoping that Xi Jinping, the leader of China, the Chinese Communist Party, will be so caught up dealing with the internal turmoil and trying to prevent the complete collapse of the economy that they won't engage in any foreign adventures. But it's going to be a close-run thing, because what's the best way to distract your people from the fact that they have hungry bellies and they're having to tighten their belts? Well, engaging in a little foreign war will sometimes do that. The Chinese people have already been told by Xi Jinping, the leader of the Communist Party, that they must be prepared to eat bitterness. Chirku in the Chinese phrase, eat bitterness. That means prepare for hard times. And that doesn't mean just skipping a meal in China. That means that hard times, you may starve to death.
Wow. China they've had a famine or two in the past. Stephen, thank you so much. I appreciate you, sir, very much. That's good, right? But I think the same thing you think. There's going to be a response. An economy, a country that size, and not just going to collapse without a fight. Might be some interesting times coming. Whatever. I'm still going to sleep tonight. I'll wake up and deal with China tomorrow after you have your dream powder from Beam. Don't you want to sleep like a baby every night? Gosh, I slept so good again. I love it. I love that it's natural. That's my thing. I know that there are a bunch of things that'll put you to sleep. Good grief, cough medicine will put you to sleep. How do you feel when you wake up? Do you feel rested? You feel, just got a great night's sleep. No, you don't. You feel awful. Dream powder is different because it's natural. Look at all those natural things that are in it. Try that. It's a cup of hot chocolate. It's delicious. You won't even know there's anything in it. And then you just kind of drift off to sleep. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk about the DOJ. Let's talk about a suspicion that I guess I have it. I was going to say I have it, and then maybe I don't completely have it, but I believe I'm officially suspicious. And here's my suspicion. I'll vent it out to you right here, and it is what it is. I feel like we're being played a little. Played. Here's what I mean by that. Because this will come back to the latest announcement from Pam Bondi in the DOJ. You know, I used to play basketball my whole life because I'm really tall. But that wasn't the main reason I got into basketball. My dad was a great athlete. He got a college scholarship. He had a football scholarship if he wanted it. He was one of those guys, right, could do anything. And he wanted that for me. Sorry, Dad. But I didn't love basketball. I only played because he wanted me to play. And so I didn't want to practice. He put up a basketball hoop at the house, and he expected me to just go out there hours at a time, practice like he used to. But I didn't want to do that. I was lazy, whatever, didn't like it. So you know what I would do? This is before the age of the cell phone, right? I would bother my mom over and over and over again to find out when Dad was coming home. Hey, Mom, have you talked to Dad? Dad call? Dad coming? When time's Dad coming home from work? And if I thought I knew he was coming home, I would go out there. I'd try to time it. So I went out there right before he pulled in the driveway, and I'd be practicing. I wanted him to see me practicing, playing him, giving him a little taste of what he wants to see so I don't get yelled at for not practicing. Just give him a taste of what he wants to see. Hey, good to see you out there practicing. And then, look, I don't have to actually practice. I don't have to actually work hard. 5 minutes, go shoot some hoops. Oh, hey, Dad, had no idea you were coming. Playing him. Pam Bondi made an announcement yesterday. And if this was just like an isolated thing, I wouldn't have any problem with it. In fact, if you just take just this announcement, sounds okay. Here she was.
Thank you all for joining us today. We're excited to be here for the launch of the Task Force to Eradicate Anti-Christian Bias as outlined in the President's Executive Order. Together, this task force will identify any unlawful anti-Christian policies, practices, or conduct across the government, seek input from the faith-based organizations and state governments to end anti-Christian bias.
Okay. I like the sounds of that. Don't think that this is me complaining about that. I like the sounds of that. It's not hard, whether you're a Christian or not, it's not hard to look at the actions of the United States federal government and figure out that it's a hostile entity to you and your beliefs. It was like 5 minutes ago, we had a memo from the FBI announcing its intention to infiltrate the Catholic Church, right? But that's actually the point I want to make here. Task force. Sounds good. Going to get rid of that anti-Christian bias. I like the sounds of it. Who's been arrested in the government? All the abuse of you and your liberty, the insane criminality in the government. It didn't just happen by a blob, by a fictional person. People did this to you. People with names, people with addresses, people who I'm assuming have wrists that you can put handcuffs on. I get these news conferences all the time now. Look at this drug bust. Look at our task force. I'm still waiting for the government people to go to prison. I feel like we're being played. All right. That's my suspicion. Let's talk a bit more about local justice systems, shall we? Before we get to that, let me talk to you. Well, remember that talk we just had in the opening of the show about corporate America? How they got infected with communism and now they use your money against you? That means now we can't just buy whatever's on sale. We can't just, you know, go whatever's easiest, most convenient. We have to be more purposeful with where we spend our money. We have to. You do and I do. And we all have improvements we can make, myself included. Your cell phone might be the easiest way. Might be the easiest route to take to avoid the people who hate you and reward the people who love you. Verizon hates you. AT&T hates you. T-Mobile hates you. You don't have to take my word for it. Go look up their charitable giving. There's your example. Pure Talk doesn't do that. When Pure Talk does give back, they don't get political with it. They take care of veterans, getting veterans back on their feet, getting them the health care they need. That's what Pure Talk does. And they do this while charging you half? Come on. Isn't that worth switching? PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talk all the time about how there are two different divisions to communism, always has been, everywhere it's ever been. There are the elites, the ones who actually hold power. There's only a few of those. Usually it's one, but sometimes it's a committee. And then there's the street animals. They need to go do the leg breaking, the vandalizing, the murdering, the hurting people. But they have to work together. You see, the street animals aren't going to do that if they go to prison every time they break the law. Breaking the law is what they do. You need the elites to get you out of jail. Happens all the time in every communist country, including right here in the United States of America. Joining me now, Dustin Greggie, columnist, good one from Town Hall, to talk a little bit about this Minnesota story. Because, Dustin, I saw this interesting story. This man does $20,000 in damage to a Tesla, and he's not going to prison? Wow, he must have a great lawyer. What happened?
Yeah, you know, I wish we all had that type of experience when we break the law, but it just isn't the case here. But in this instance, Mary Moriarty, she's a DA or a county attorney in this case. That's our term in Minnesota, for the prosecuting authority for Hennepin County, which includes Minneapolis and the greater Twin Cities. Ramsey's in there too, but Choi, a different attorney out there, is pretty similar. Not nearly as bad as Moriarty, but in this case, yeah, we basically are just given the green light here. Hey, liberals, if you do political activism and you commit some crimes in the process, we're going to let you off the hook. But of course, Mary Moriarty, and the reason you just know this is all political is because if a cop pulls a gun on someone who's threatening the life of the cop, she will go after them fully. She went after murder charges for a recent state trooper who ended up shooting an individual suspect, who ended up pulling the car and dragging an officer. One of the officers ended up shooting that individual to try to stop them because their lives are at stake there in that moment. the charges ultimately end up getting dropped at the end because there's no case. The only person who was actually pushing that forward was Moriarty herself. She ended up spending, allocating millions of dollars for that case that never ended up coming to fruition because it was such a bad case. But she will go all in against someone in a law enforcement uniform. But when it comes to liberal activism, you know, you're just going to walk free in these cases. And the real kicker here, in my opinion, Jesse, when you look at how they're diverting and getting out of charges here, they're going under a subdivision rule called diversion, which is basically create a supplementary program that basically says, well, if I agree to do these things, I'm going to be able to avoid criminal charges. Well, in that specific clause in Hennepin County's rules for eligibility, it caps it at $5,000 in property damage. This guy committed $20,000. That's four times the amount. But she's using diversion as the way and means to be able to avoid these charges. So across the board, it's absolutely insane. The only way to describe it is this is a Soros-backed county attorney who had $500,000 thrown into her campaign from supporting groups from him. And this is just the way it rolls when it comes to liberal activism in Minnesota.
God have mercy. Your AG ain't any better. Keith Ellison, people probably know the name. Here is old Keith on the television.
A biological male recently took first place in the girls' triple jump and is now in the school records for three girls' events. No one wants to see kids bullied or denied opportunities, but is it fair to the girls who have trained hard only to lose out to athletes with clear biological advantages? From their perspective, couldn't this be considered a form of bullying?
Well, I'm at a disadvantage because that particular case I'm not aware of. I do know of other children in that school district who are, you know, 10, 9, 11, and they don't really care about winning. They just want to be on the team. We're talking about kids who have always identified as female, never have identified any other way, and they just want to be on the team. They're there just because they want to be a member of the team and learn something about sportsmanship and teamwork and cooperation, and which is really the real lessons of sports. Mm-hmm.
Dustin, I don't understand Minnesota. It's not California. It's not Connecticut. It's not one of these places. Yet the most loony Democrats get elected in that state. I love Minnesota. I used to go muskie fishing in Minnesota. Could you please explain this to me?
Yeah, you know, I love the sidebar clip there with Ellison and Jim Schultz. I actually ended up helping on that AG campaign. And how frustrating it is to see some of these voters vote the way that they do, especially when these were all warnings we put out there in that campaign. We explained step by step, hey, here's what's happening. But unfortunately, I mean, the real problem in the state ultimately is that every legacy media outlet, and I mean every single one of them, unless you're basically Dustin Greggy or Alpha News or Michelle Tafoya, you're not getting the full story ever in any case. And what I love at least about Tim Walz running for VP this last time is it put a spotlight on all of this. I mean, you wouldn't know my name if Tim Walz never ran for VP. That's just the case. That's the reality. But people finally started paying attention to the state, and they started taking all this oppo that we have used up over all the years. It's been ignored for decades, but people finally picked up on it. And this is the beauty of it. I think going to the midterms, we're going to be in a much better position to win these seats. I mean, in that case, Ellison ended up losing by like one percentage point, even though the top of ticket member ended up almost losing by double digits. So we were really close in that race. And the other good news in Moriarty's case as well, now we have like a record with her. We have a record with Ellison, and it's a little bit longer. But also just we actually have the ability to get this oppo out there to the public, where in some cases we have a larger platform than the Star Tribune, depending if we're able to blow something up like this. And it's the only way you guys know about this. It's because of X. It's because of the way we've been able to put this all together. But coming back to Ellison there with that case, I just have to laugh a little bit, because in committee, when Riley Gaines came to the state legislature here in Minnesota, we kept hearing from representatives on the Democrat side, well, this doesn't even happen. this isn't an issue. There aren't boys competing in women's sports. But here we have the Attorney General of Minnesota not only saying, oh, I'm just learning about this instance of a girl, a boy, winning the triple jump in a girls' competition. But by the way, I'm going to let you know that I know elementary and middle school level kids from the same school district who are currently doing it, and they will eventually be in high school and be able to compete in these sports. So before, it was never happening, but now it's happening at three different levels in the one school district. So it just find it fascinating that this has been their messaging the whole time, but now that it's actually come here, it's in front of their faces and they have to address the issue, which is an 80-20 issue. Normal people don't agree with them on this. Now they're just avoiding it completely and just hoping for the best. But now's our opportunity. We can actually hammer down on these issues, bring them to the voters, and actually win these elections and hopefully bring the state back to normalcy again.
Fingers crossed, because I like Minnesota. Dustin, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right. Let's make fun of communist John Denver. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to lighten the mood. And I enjoy Randy Weingarten. She's known as Communist John Denver on this show. I enjoy her because her lack of self-awareness creates entertainment for you and entertainment for me. For instance, she's not a good speaker by any stretch of the imagination. Her voice is just, it's so much. Yet, because of her role, she just does speeches all the time. And she goes on television shows all the time. And she went on with Martha McCallum, and she called her sweetheart. That was a mistake.
You have actually very,
Martha,
very difficult
Martha,
outcome.
Martha, sweetheart, sweetheart, listen to me.
Please don't call
it
me sweetheart.
It actually does. I'm sorry. My bad. It actually does matter.
She couldn't help it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.